Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Dawn of Kangaroo Spotting, and today we are discussing entrepreneurship and motherhood and finding that ever elusive balance between the two. Dawn is the owner of Kangaroo Spotting and creates visual artwork and writes magnetic website copy for small to medium-sized businesses who care about connecting with their audiences. Dawn's work as a creative person gives her an identity outside of being a mother and allows her to set an example to her children for how to chase your dreams. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dawn.
Thank you for having me, Julia. I'm really happy to be here.
Great. So let's dive into a couple of questions so that our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sounds good.
Tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
I am tuning in from Melbourne, Australia, and it is 6 a.m. on a Saturday. So yeah, I've just rolled out of bed with a cup of tea and I'm excited to talk about work because it's probably my favorite topic.
Yeah, it's so funny that you say it's 6 o'clock on Saturday because it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday here. So it feels kind of surreal hearing you say that.
Yeah, I'm in the future. But yeah, and you could probably tell by the accent, I'm originally from near where you are, the northeast of the U.S. But I'm pretty much a local now. I've been here for about 13 years.
That's awesome. Very nice. And what motivates you as an entrepreneur?
I think what motivates me, you know, aside from the usual family and health and wellness, is creativity. That's kind of the reason that I do what I do. I love creating things and that's kind of my happy place. And it's quite fulfilling. And the fact that I get to do it for other people in a variety of different ways is definitely my fuel, I'd say.
That's awesome. And how are you constantly growing as an entrepreneur?
I am constantly growing because I am always hungry for knowledge. There's all kinds of different avenues that I can see myself taking. I diligently follow things that I'm interested in, whether it's a new art medium or a new marketing technique. I usually have about 10 books on the go on my Kindle, depending on what mood I'm in. And I'd say about 8 of them are business related.
Love it.
But I'm just always looking for something new or to try to improve and offer better value for my clients and just learn. I'm a lifelong student. I think a lot of really successful entrepreneurs are. Not that I'm wildly successful, but I'm happy.
Yeah. No, it's so important. You've got to keep growing, challenging yourself and just keep, if you don't invest in yourself, why would someone else invest in you? That's how I like to look at it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how did you get into copywriting?
This is a funny story. I think it's just writing and reading was part of who I was and what I did even as a child. I have a master's degree in English because when I was at university, I wanted to do art, but my parents were really, they wanted me to focus on something else as a backup plan, of course, as you do when you have a creative child, you worry about them financially, I guess. well, that's the stories that we're told, but So I graduated with that master's in English from grad school with a lot of debt, and I had done an internship at a newspaper and some freelancing, so I understood that side of it, but then crossed over to the dark side of marketing, as you do, and usually they say in journalism, you can't ever go back because they don't want someone who's biased. But I actually found that I loved the salesy side of it. I did advertorials. I worked for a small web development company for a few months, and then I traveled around Europe selling these advertorials and sometimes writing them. And
that's so cool.
Found that I could find the angles, and because I knew how to make things interesting from journalism, or, you know, find the unique point of view and make people want to read it. Mm-hmm. I kind of naturally fell into this rhythm where I would write stuff for friends. You know, I would do occasional web copy. I would do their cover letters or CVs. And I was really, I had tried to give my business a real go on the art side. And so I was building that after years of blogging and not really getting anywhere financially. A friend of mine who's a web developer said, I really need help with this one client. She's stuck. We can't get past the copy stage. Can you help? I know you're a great writer. And so I did. And I helped do some web copy for a small business. And yeah, it went really well. And my web developer friend was like, you need to do this as a service. I'm like, well, no, I'm going to be an artist. And she was like, no. So it's funny that we kind of meet people that pull us into the best parts of ourselves. So now I work extremely closely with her, where we're not partners, but we bounce ideas off each other. And because we both have always worked remotely, she's like the closest thing I have to a colleague. So I've been writing for her for a few years, and now I work for two other web developers as well. It just, I guess most of the work comes from referrals, but I've just sort of fell into this profession. And not only do I absolutely love it, it's super creative, and I'm still doing my art on the side, but I'd say this takes up the majority of my time now.
Yeah.
And I even brought on a junior copywriter to help me at the end of last year. So because my work was so, I had to start turning things down, and I didn't want to. I wanted to help people. But so I'm like, I'm just going to train up this really clever, young, hungry writer in my image, and set her off and help her start her business. It's kind
Very
of like
cool.
a karmic good thing to do. So here we are.
Nice.
I'm talking your ear off. Sorry.
And no, it's so interesting. I love hearing the stories of entrepreneurs and, you know, how you got your start and how you grow your business. And are you still available? You know, if there's any agency owners listening who are looking for a copywriter, are you still taking on more work?
Yes. So this year things are just kind of ramping up again. But I am taking on more work and more clients depending on what they're after.
Yeah.
And now that I have Lucy helping me, that we've got capacity to do more together, because we almost split projects now. And I want her to surpass the stage that I did, where I did 5 years of work basically for free. I'm just downloading my knowledge into her brain, and then she's going to take that and run with it. But we're doing the same thing. So
yes.
It's not like I've doubled myself, but it certainly feels that way sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. So for anyone listening who's looking for a copywriter, so how we got connected is, we have a mutual connection, Chris, who is a customer of ours on Review Robin. And he was he's like, I have to put you in touch with Dawn. She's an amazing copywriter. She has this amazing gift with words. And I could even tell from the first email exchange we had that you were so such a great writer. So you have such a fun spin on everything that you write. So definitely would highly recommend getting in touch with Dawn. Oh, and I will put your information in the description as well.
Well, cool. Yeah, Chris is great. He's so positive and enthusiastic. And I actually had a Zoom call with him like Friday night, just to do some brainstorming. And I just absolutely love his energy. He's so appreciative of like everything,
yes.
you know, all these people that I work with. But again, like web developers are probably my main clients, but I do work for individuals occasionally as well. So yes, I'll probably have a little bit of a wait list in the next month or two, but send the inquiry.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd love to delve into our topic now. So we're going to be talking about finding that balance between entrepreneurship and motherhood. So let's start off and talk about mom guilt for a minute. It runs rampant among moms out there. How do you cope with it? Have you figured out any ways to cope with it as an entrepreneur and a mom?
No, I haven't figured out a way to cope with it other than to coexist with it, maybe. The guilt is always there. I think the most important thing is to realize that I think as mothers, we tend to put it on ourselves more than others put it on us. I know we're always worried about judgment from others, perhaps. And I think especially more, I don't know, for me, when I became a mother, I just thought the world was judging me, but I realized that was more internal.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think there's a balance, right? So I want my children to see a mother who is, you know, has her own career and identity, who is working in a job she loves. And look, some of us don't have that luxury. Some of us have to work for others in order to pay the bills. But mm-hmm. again, like, if you can at least make the most of what you're doing, I think they really just need to see you as more than just their cleaner, nurse, chef, bum wiper extraordinaire. Like, you just, I don't know, that identity is so important. And they're going to leave you someday. So you've got to have something for yourself.
Yeah.
And look, and that's big picture stuff. But day to day, I think when my guilt ramps up, I just try to carve out a little bit of time to be really present with them. So I'll put down the work, the electronics. You know, I've learned this saying lately that it's the work is not done, but it's time to stop. I heard that on a podcast somewhere. And I thought that was really brilliant. Yes, because I used to not give myself permission to down tools, as they say in Australia, until my checklist was done and I felt like I had accomplished enough for that day or that week, but that is never going to happen. Just like the laundry is never done.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing cycle. So sometimes you just need to stop and then, you know, be present, spend time. And during the pandemic, it was especially difficult. I would spend weekends in my office when my husband was home with the kids, so I could catch up. And I would go downstairs at dinner time and I'd be like in a daze. But I've realized that sometimes you just need to ground yourself before you're leaving your work and then entering the family zone so that you can just really be there for them. Because I would sit there at the table and be like, oh my God, I still have so much to do. Why am I here? This is so boring. And it's that, there's the balance is difficult, but it's just something that may never actually happen. So you just have to keep trying, just like you keep telling that guilt voice, okay, you need to stop. You're doing the best you can for yourself and your kids. You're not perfect. You're one human. Yeah. Motherhood is not a one person gig. And to all the single mothers out there, like, I worship you. I am in the very lucky position where I am not a single mother, but also I don't have family help nearby. My family's on the other side of the planet. And my husband's family are 2 hours away and they run a farm. So it's not like they have a ton of free time. And that being said, my mother-in-law has helped me tremendously when my kids were little, but you know, you just have to figure it out.
Yeah. Somehow. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like women are conditioned from birth to just be, and I think it's because we see our moms doing this, is to just give. Like we don't graciously receive things very well. And something that I have adopted, you know, probably in the last couple of years, is that it's okay to be a little bit selfish, you know?
Yes.
It, like, I think because at the end of the day, like, I want to teach my daughter that it's good to take care of yourself as a human being. Absolutely. You know, it's so good to, you know, fit in that time to exercise. And, you know, even when your kid wants you to play, because my daughter's six, so she wants my constant attention. She's an only child. And, but I want her to just, you know, I want to lead by example. I want her to see that I prioritize taking care of myself, because I want her to do that one day as well.
Exactly. Well, what do you want for them? I think Glennon Doyle says, you know, what life do you want for your children? Are you modeling that?
Yeah.
You know, my mother was a working mother, but she just did everything for us to the point where when we left the nest, she was like, she freaked out. Like, now what, you know? And now she's 65 and she has a life of her own. Finally, like, she does her tennis and she has her friends and she's doing what she wants. But, you know, I don't want to model martyrdom for my daughters, especially because, you know, raising two girls, it's like they're faced with it anyway, as you know. Women have it a lot more difficult, but I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head. What kind of life do you want for them? Do I want them to martyr themselves for their kids? No, I want them to be healthy and happy on the inside and with what they're doing with their lives. And you also touched on the fact that it's hard for us to accept help another huge thing that I have learned that helps me is saying, yes, thank you.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but it's a simple thing that you can do to, you know, and even if you are a single mother and you don't have help and you have friends with kids, trade babysitting, you know,
yeah.
Whatever you can do. It doesn't necessarily involve money. If you can't afford a nanny, like most of us can't, there are ways. You have to get scrappy sometimes.
Yeah. And even just something as small as just calling your friend up to vent and just getting it off your chest, find that friend who you guys both can, you know, vent to with, to a healthy degree. And yeah, like it's so therapeutic.
Just someone who gets it.
Yeah.
You know, and on the subject of playing, I'm going to sound like a monster here, but I hate playing with my kids. I hate board games. I don't like doing kiddie things. I would much rather like paint with them or cook with them or go for a walk or something that like benefits me in some way.
Yeah.
Or watch a movie, but playing kills me. I was like a born grown up. I don't know. It's kind of sad, but anyway, like I want them to learn to entertain themselves.
Yes.
And I always say to them, I'm not here to amuse you. You have friends for that, or you have games or toys or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and if they get bored, I say, oh, that's so wonderful. Now is a good time to use your imagination. They hate it.
Yeah. It's good because now, with TV and tablets and all of that, I feel like kids aren't getting bored. And when you don't get bored, you don't go and figure out, you know, the arts and use your creativity, use different parts of your brain, figure out things you're good at. Yes, I 100%
stare at the clouds, have fun.
Yeah. And as a side note, so my mom did everything for us. What she was raised to, you know, as mothers do, that's, you know, just what she was trained in. And mm-hmm. When I went off to college, I didn't know how to cook anything. I literally sat in my dorm room and ate a brownie for dinner. I was so helpless. So I want to learn from that experience. And I definitely don't want my daughter to go off to college and be like a helpless human being.
Give her some life skills. I love it. No, like I agree. I taught myself to cook, I think, when I moved to Europe and I was like, what can I do with a whole head of garlic? I didn't know. But we had at least like recipe blogs and stuff. But at that point, that was like 2006. Yeah, it's funny how when they think they're taking care of you, they're almost disabling you. And I know my mom wanted to, she says, I wanted to give you a fantasy childhood and keep you in a bubble and all this stuff. And I was like, but I was the most naive kid ever. And I got into so much trouble because I was, and I trusted the wrong people. Not that it's her fault, but
no,
I wasn't scrappy. I tell my kids all the time, some people are jerks. Just stay away from them. Not everyone's going to like you. And to my head as a kid, like I would have exploded. I just turned 40 last year and I finally stopped caring what other people think of me. I don't know. It was like a switch flipped. Thank goodness. But
I love that. That's awesome.
Give them a legacy. You know, we don't want to raise any more people pleasers.
Yeah, I know, we got to break the cycle. Mm-hmm. So how do you optimize efficiency? Because I know that there's nothing more efficient than a mother. With children to optimize that time when your kids are in school or daycare or whatever.
You know, I don't know what I did with my time before I had children. I thought I was, I know everyone's busy, everyone fills their time, but I was not busy like I am now.
Yeah. And no, I always used to complain I was so busy. It's like, no, you weren't.
I was so busy. I can't. What was I doing? Sleeping? Drinking champagne? I don't know.
I know.
We're master multitaskers, right? But I think one of the things that has helped me the most, especially over the last maybe three years or so, is blocking my time. Mm-hmm. And timing it around when I'm most efficient. I listened to a podcast by Lorraine Murphy, and she's a mother and an entrepreneur, and talks about how we did this test of like when you're most, when you're at your optimum self during the day. So for example, if you're a lark, a middle bird, or, you know, a night owl, whatever.
Yeah.
And I learned that for myself, 10 a.m. is my great time. So that's when I talk to clients. That's when I do the difficult tasks. I try to save email and like the mindless stuff till later in the day or in the evening when I'm really tired. Mm-hmm. And I even try to time things around my menstrual cycle, which it sounds a bit woo woo, but it actually really helps. Like I know that when I am in my ovulation time, I am super efficient. I'm creative. I'm more social. So I will try to save like really creative and artistic tasks for that time or things that require a lot of out of the box thinking, you know, trying to write creative copy when you're exhausted, and you're in the winter season of your cycle, you can't. And I stopped trying to push myself to keep up, with men in society or the way that Western working culture has evolved to be. I don't believe that we fit into that as women and mothers, especially. Mm-hmm. And I still have other responsibilities. I've got kids that need to be run around. I've got, house stuff that needs to happen. And I've got a partner who helps with a lot of stuff, but as the main breadwinner, it's always like his work has taken priority. Mm-hmm. And as a team, that's what we focused on. But now that I'm getting busier, I'm having to delegate other things and decide whether or not to spend my money on that I'm earning through my business to do things like order fresh meals to be delivered so I don't have to cook, to spend a few hours here and there on babysitting so that, I can pay someone an hourly wage, but focus on something that's going to bring a lot more income. I hired an assistant last year to help with a lot of the, I make jewelry as well with my art, but it's such a small revenue earner that I never focused on. And I didn't have the time to photograph it, list it, describe it. And now I have someone to do that for me. And I can make sales while I'm sleeping, which is pretty cool. And it's a little bit, but it pays for itself. So again, this also, it sounds privileged, but I'm reinvesting what I'm making into myself, but mm-hmm. also to make my life easier and more streamlined. So on my working days, I'll have like fresh dinners delivered and, we sit down and we warm it up in the microwave and we eat. If the kids decide to eat it, usually they won't, but it's just, you have to figure out ways to do it, or like if you find someone who can clean your house once or twice a month, mm-hmm. It sounds incredibly privileged and most people are like, oh my God, you have a cleaner. But honestly, it's a small part of my income that helps me tremendously. It helps me clear the decks. Like, so I'm not chasing my tail and doing like two rooms at a time and running around. I don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
And I think it's delegating, it's time management, it's time blocking and really paying attention to how you spend your time and energy so that you mm-hmm. can focus on the bigger revenue earning things. And so that you can focus on the more difficult projects and do work that you're really proud of, it's all a juggling act.
Yeah, totally. And I think, I know one thing I've done that's been really helpful is I've gotten really intentional about how my day is scheduled out. So everything is just blocked in my calendar, from this time to this time, I'm checking emails, from this time to this time, I'm doing CRM follow-up, from this time to this time, I'm doing blogging, like whatever it is in my day, it's all scheduled out so that, because what I found is I was getting a bit overwhelmed because I had so many things I was keeping a mental track of. So things that I should have been focused on with growing the business, I wasn't giving myself that mental capacity to focus on. So when it's scheduled in your calendar, I'm all of a sudden able to give myself permission to just block out everything else and just focus on the task at hand. And it's been really helpful.
Yeah. And I think that that goes a long way to, that's almost like boundary setting too. And, I only take client calls on certain days and times when I have two kids out of the house. Mm-hmm. And then this is the first year that I've actually blocked in a day where I'm not available to clients, but it's going to be a day. It's supposed to be a self-care day, but to be honest, I haven't, I've been working, but that's okay. We're just into the new year. But so every Friday I can hopefully like do a yoga class or something, or take the dog for a walk and then maybe paint, do something a little bit more creative and a bit more soul feeding for myself, mm-hmm. because I went 2 years through the pandemic with zero opportunity for self-care. I had mm-hmm. humans around me 24/7 and we were not allowed to leave our neighborhood.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't imagine.
nuts. Yeah, they gave us 5 kilometers limit, which is like 2 miles or something. And you could leave your house for one of four reasons. It was nuts. And they were fining people. It was pretty crazy here.
Wow.
We're getting back to a new normal now, which is good.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So how do you bring more balance into your life?
Yes, the ever elusive topic of balance. I mean, I always view balance as a seesaw. It's just, you know, it might never be quite balanced, but you strive for it mm-hmm. as best you can.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a matter of knowing what your priorities are and what matters most to you. And for me, you know, family always comes first, but I have to remember that sometimes. And again, stop work because you need to put some time into your family now. So mm-hmm. even though things aren't done and it's almost like jumping back and forth, and sometimes you're more on one side and sometimes you're more on the other. But again, I think giving yourself permission to know that it's balance is maybe never going to be perfectly achieved, or maybe for not for very long.
Yeah.
But yeah, just, I think we need to stop being so hard on ourselves as mothers. We're like 1,000 different people in one human.
Yeah.
We're only one person and we're not perfect. And some days we don't want to do it. And yeah, you just put one foot in front of the other, I suppose.
Yeah. And I think just, yeah, giving yourself that grace that, you know, I'm doing my best and my best is good enough. Cause I know one thing I've run into is, you know, sometimes I have to, you know, your kid gets sick. You have to cancel a call with a client and you feel really bad and you feel frustrated because you're growing your business. And this is just completely out of your control. So yeah, just giving yourself that grace that I'm doing the best I can with, you know, my current circumstances and you got to work with what you have.
Yeah. And don't you find when that happens, you know, it almost seems world ending. Oh, this call is so important. But once you cancel it and you talk person to person, generally they understand.
That's fine. It's not a big deal.
Exactly. They're like, yeah, go take care of your little one. You know, family comes first. Most people are really kind and understanding, especially I'd like to think the people that I choose to work with are lovely. And, you know, once you cancel it, you're like, oh, wow. That wasn't earth shattering. Like life goes on.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's a wake up call too. Or when I had COVID last month, for example, all of my clients were like, oh my gosh, take care of yourself. Get off the computer. Like I would try to do a few hours of work, but then I would pass out for a few hours. So I was so tired, but yeah, it's just, we're all people. We're all doing our best.
Yeah.
We all have families, whether or not we talk to them, but everyone can relate, I think, in some way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I'd love to talk about that power of having your why and your source for your source of inspiration. What is that to you, and how does that inspire you?
Oh man, and, you know, it's funny. It's like the nice person answer would be like, "I love my kids and helping people," but honestly, for me. And like, I'm joking, but for me, creating is the most fulfilling thing that I can do with my life that I've learned is my, you know, it gets me out of bed in the morning. It makes me feel like I'm accomplishing something on this planet and leaving mm-hmm. it maybe a little bit better than I found it. I just, when I am creating something, whether it's, you know, fantastic copy to help a small business connect better to their audience, or whether it's a commissioned piece of art for a friend or a client, or I make memorial jewelry and sculptures for people who lost loved ones sometimes, or cast funeral flowers in resin. It all feels very purposeful and very deliberate. So, and a lot of times I feel like the creations come through me, but they don't belong to me. They're intended for someone else. Even if I'm experimenting and I'm just doing a painting or something for myself, like it's selfless and selfish at the same time, which is kind mm-hmm. of a beautiful thing.
Yes, because I love that.
I'm being fulfilled, but also someone else is going to experience joy through this or find themselves in it. And I always say, gosh, you know, should I separate my businesses? I'm a writer and an artist, but what do they have in common? It's really the act of expression. So whether mm-hmm. it's self-expression or identity expressing or a business voice, mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's all about how we present to others in the world. And I think that's really powerful, and it's deceptively superficial. You know, what your style is, or how you sound, or what you choose to wear, or how you decorate your body. I think it's more than skin deep. I think it helps us to connect to other humans. It signals to other people how you feel about yourself, and how, you know, what artwork you put on your walls. It shows the world who you are, in a way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of big. So, you know, making the world a little bit more beautiful is, yeah, I guess, my why, or helping people realize that little spark inside of them. Like, this is me. Like, this person understands me in this piece of art, or, you know, this customer realizes that, you know, your product will actually help me, and you get me. I can tell by the way you speak to me through your website that, I don't know, it's that genuine connection, human connection. That's the why, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. That, what you just said about something, finding something that's, when you're being selfless and selfish at the same time, I think that's a really like aha moment for me. And it's funny because I love volunteering, and it's something that I'm so passionate about and giving back to the local community. And yeah, that's something that is, you know, selfless in a sense, you're volunteering, but it's selfish at the same time because it makes me happy. So yeah, when you can find something that makes you feel selfish and selfless at the same time, I think that is, you know, a big idea and a big key to happiness.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I've never said that before or thought it. It just came out, which it's, yeah, keep that one.
That's a good one. That's a pretty, yeah, knowledge bomb.
Yeah. All right. I'm done. See you later.
Love it. So are there any other kinds of boundaries that you put in place to ensure, you know, your business work doesn't creep into your family time and your family time doesn't creep into your business?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty good with the family, but I think where I struggle more is with friends. I hate saying no to people.
Yeah.
And I love my friends. I've been lucky enough to build an incredible network of really interesting and unique women here in Australia. You know, I had to start over at 28, but so I have friends here and I have friends back home in the States. And I try to make time for emails. I have a few pen pals that are amazing back home. And then, I've come to the conclusion that if I see a certain friend once or twice a year, that's good, because it's really hard. Like, when everyone else has families, the scheduling conflicts, da, 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 it's like, oh, I'll see you in 3 months.
Yeah.
That has to be okay. And I think one thing that helps me that I've learned in therapy is working backwards, right? So for example, how do you want to feel on Sunday night? Do you want to be exhausted and totally wrecked from like all the crazy plans you had on the weekend? Or do you want to feel fulfilled and ready to face the week?
Yeah.
And that was a big game changer for me, because I just think sometimes you just have to say no. And I think a lot of my friends are pretty great, especially the close ones will understand. I'll just be like, I'm cooked. I can't, like, I've got to reschedule, and they'll get it. Or I try not to schedule plans that I don't want to do, or that I know that I'm going to try to weasel out of. So it's like, if I say I'm going to do it, I genuinely and generally will do it. And it has to be something that I'm excited about. One of my best friends says, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. So I think that comes to a lot of things in our lives. But again, no is a very powerful business tool and social tool. And for me, family and work are my main priorities. So my social life is down the list now. It used to be pretty high up there, but mm-hmm. it's not sustainable. Like, I barely have time for exercise anymore. And that's something that I need desperately for stress relief. And so I can't be making play dates and plans for, you know, just to catch up with everyone. And it's hard too, because, you know, we haven't seen our friends and family in almost 2 years due to the lockdowns here in Australia, but there's time, there's other ways to reach out. Like, sometimes I'll send a message or a DM or a meme to friends and just say, I'm thinking about you. Mm-hmm. Because I love them, but I also like, I have no time. Yeah. No, that's not true. We shouldn't say that.
It's all about prioritizing your time.
Priority. Yeah, priority.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. And yeah, you've got, it's not, yeah, you're conscious about how you're prioritizing your time. And it makes sense. Yeah. You know, there's only so many hours in a day, and you've got to, as a mom, take care of yourself and your business and your little ones and your personal health. And yeah, you've got those relationships are important, but you know, maybe you don't see them as much as you'd like to when it comes to your friends.
Yeah.
But knowing that it's not absolute, right? You know, there's going to come a point where your kids are grown and they're off to college, and then, you know, then you can focus more on other priorities.
Exactly. I don't want to be ratty and snappy at them, because when I'm exhausted and stressed, the kids are the first ones to cop it. You know, I lose my patience and I'm grumpy, and I don't want to be that way to them. And yeah, so I think, again, it comes back, it's selfish and selfless at the same time, because you have to make sure that you're okay enough to do the best job that you can as mothers. And we're not perfect, like we said, and not to heap on the guilt, but if we can make sure that we're okay enough to do the best job we can as mothers, I think then we all win.
Yeah. Such a genius thing, being selfless and selfish at the same time.
Yeah. Take it. Run with it. Let's do this.
Somewhere. Yeah. So where do you see kangaroo spotting in 5 years' time?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I don't exactly have a 5-year plan. I'm not, I wish I was that kind of person, but I'm not. But I know that I'm going to be scaling up in some way, and that I'm going to be doing more of the work that I absolutely love. It's funny. It's almost like I'm a horse at the gate ready to run, but I still have a 4-year-old, and she's still home with me one day a week this year. I've been very, very lucky I haven't had to put my kids in long daycare, but they've always done, like, since babies, because I needed time. Like, they've always had some kind of occasional care, they call it in Australia. It's like half days of daycare or whatever. And I'm really just trying to get through that last year of my little one home before she goes to kindergarten next year, where it'll be full days every day. And I'm trying not to rush her out the door. And I know that I will have time, more time for work in the future, especially when they're teenagers or when they're studying at college. It's So again, it's that, like, trying to savor them while they're little still, and at the same time, just like hold off on really going like really hard at work. I'll probably just end up doing more of what I'm doing, to be honest. I love it. So yeah. I'll keep skilling up and leveling up, and maybe just increase prices and reduce the amount of clients. We'll see.
Awesome.
That's the dream, right?
Yeah. I'm really excited to see how you grow your business. And I love that you are being really conscious about appreciating that time with your daughter, because I remember. So my daughter, she's 6, and it was just in the last, 8 months or so, all of a sudden she's not as cuddly and snuggly as she used to be. And it just passes, and you don't really get that back. So I mean, she still definitely does have lots of moments where she wants to be cuddly with me, but it's one of those things, you got to appreciate it, because then before you know it, it's kind of not there as much as it used to be.
Oh, exactly. And from 5 to 6, that's a huge leap. I feel like my oldest is 8 now, and she's like tall and gangly and bony, and like, she still lets me hug her and stuff, but my 4-year-old is still a tiny bit squishy.
Yeah.
I don't want to let her go, because
I know
there ain't no way I'm going back for a third. That decision has been made. I wish I could have, but I did not have the mental capacity to do that. So I got a dog, but I might end up being a crazy dog lady, to be honest, when the kids are grown. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh my God. So funny. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast 5, which are 5 rapid fire questions.
Okay, bring it.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Oh my gosh, only one. Okay, I love The Middle Finger Project by Ash Amberger. She's a genius. Have you heard of her?
No.
her website is called The Middle Finger Project. So it's she's a copywriter. Well, she used to have a copywriting agency, and now I think she does freelance. But this book will change your life if you're a woman and an entrepreneur. Read it. It's awesome. It's sweary.
Nice. Yeah. Love it. Definitely going to check that out.
Yeah.
And this question makes me laugh, but what does your morning routine look like? Because I feel like the sun's flickering. Like I wake up and meditate. I journal for 5 minutes. But anyone with kids is just like pure chaos.
I mean, I've read Atomic Habits, The Miracle Morning. I've like studied what is wrong with me. I am just not a morning person. I can't function. You've witnessed my morning routine today. I'm in my sweats. I rolled out of bed. I made a cup of tea. Usually I drink coffee, but I'm going back to bed after this.
Yeah.
So what I do is prepare at night. I do the kids' lunches at night. I bathe them at night. I get their clothes out. I get my clothes out. Anything I can do to have 5 more minutes in bed, I'll shower at night.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Mornings are the worst. Yeah. Yeah. So and everyone in my house knows not to talk to me until I've woken up fully.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to do what works for you. And if you know that you're not a morning person and you just accommodate, as it works. So what is your favorite online tool?
So many. Do you know what one of my newest favorites, I think, is Loom, and the way that I use it for copy, right? So what I used to do is send clients a Word document with their copy on it. And I'd be like, here you go. Yay. So exciting. And they would read it. And sometimes they wouldn't understand the full thought process that went behind it.
Right.
You know, and when you're writing web copy, less is more. So I would spend weeks on one page, but without explaining it, it's hard to tell. So now what I do, and this was actually a tip from Ash, is send them a little video where I go through, not line by line, but almost like section by section. I talk about, you know, if there's layered meaning, if there are themes that I'm pulling through and why, what the word choices are, and get them to understand the thought process behind what I've done and why and who I'm addressing and how it all fits together. It's so much more powerful.
Yeah.
And definitely. And I get so many less revisions because they get it. Cause you know, a lot of times on first glance, you won't understand. And then again, on a Word document compared to what it looks like on a website or in wireframes, it looks totally different. It's not in situ. So again, those just that little video, it goes that little bit of an extra mile to explain what you've done and add value and show the value and get excited about what you're talking about. I send them to Chris all the time and he loves it. He's like, I love your videos. I want you to do more videos. So Loom's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. That's awesome. I use it same thing, in our software company. You know, if a client ever has a question about something, you know, you can do the typical refer to a knowledge base article, which I do. But then I'll also just record a little Loom video of me actually in demonstrating it. And it just takes like 30 seconds to watch. And it's so handy.
And it's personal. It goes a long way and it shows the client that you care. And that, you know, that taking the time out of your day to just like personally show them as if you were in the room with them. I love that. That's really cool.
Yeah. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Everything. I wish I knew anything at all about business. I knew nothing. And I don't understand to this day why creative people are not taught business. I did an art major at university in studio art, which was like a general art. You know, we did theory, we did sculpture and photography and, you know, digital, everything. Why didn't they give us a business class and teach us that as an artist or as a creative, as a writer, you need to know how to run a business? That's what it is. And no wonder our parents worry, because if you're drawing all day and they're telling you don't sell out because if you make money, you're a sellout, no one will respect you. The art world has completely changed these days. Mm-hmm. There are no longer gatekeepers at galleries or critics. You have access, you can put your stuff online and you could be an artist. And you're, you know, and, but you need to know how to sell yourself. Words are very important, you know, to be able to do that. And connection. So again, if I knew the first thing about business back in the day, and I just thought the topic was so boring, but now I'm obsessed. So I, just please give art students business courses, please.
Absolutely.
Somebody. Yeah.
I know. I think that all the time, actually. I think in high school and college courses, they should have more entrepreneurship, opportunities to introduce people to them, you know, and then you might not even know that you've got that bug within you and until you're introduced to it.
Right. 100%. Yeah. Start back in high school. Just show them how they can make money. You know, back in the day, you could sell a mixtape. I don't even think kids these days know what that means, but just give them a real world application, you know, and yes, please.
Yeah.
Everyone should be an entrepreneur. Everyone is in a way, right?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, definitely. Maybe. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dawn. It was a pleasure to speak with you, and I love everything you shared with us today. So thank you again.
Thank you for having me, Julia. Again, this was the most fun I've had at 6 a.m. in a really long time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.